We read in the Bible, God's holy pages, about the story of mercy. Down through the ages, God's love demanded again and again. Without the shedding of blood, no remission of sins. There must come a lamb, an atonement be made. It was finished at Calvary, the last debt was paid. I'm free, forgiven, I've been born again. Washed in the blood of the crucified Lamb, set free from sin's chains, my life has changed. I stand no longer condemned. You may wonder why tears fill my eyes when I see redemption's cross. I'll never get over what God put under the blood of an old rugged cross.
I remember the time of conviction, strong power, the preacher was preaching, this is the hour, bearing the burdens, the weight of my sin, trying to change me again and again.
He said, behold the Lamb, the sacrifice made, it's under the blood, the land has been paid. I'm saved, forgiven, I've been born again. Washed in the blood of the crucified Lamb, set free from sin's chains, my life has changed. I stand no longer condemned. You may wonder why tears fill my eyes when I see redemption's cause. I'll never get over what God put under the blood of an old rugged cross. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. You may wonder why tears fill my eyes when I see redemption's cross. I'll never get over what God put under the blood of an old rugged cross.
Very good. Thank you, folks. I appreciate that. Second Peter in your Bible, and if you're not familiar with it, that's all right. If you have a Bible, it's toward the end of the New Testament, and there are two books that came through the pen of the Apostle Peter, 1st and 2nd, and we're in 2nd Peter chapter 1 this morning, 2nd Peter chapter 1. So find that, and in just a moment, when give you a moment there to find it, we will stand and read some verses, just 5 through 8, and jump into the message today. 2nd Peter chapter 1. Beginning with verse 5. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's word. I'll begin reading in verse 5. Follow along. The Bible says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And I want to speak to you this morning on a subject entitled The Critical Path. The Critical Path. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be in church. We need you. Now, Lord, you know the condition of my mind is a little slow this morning with weariness, but I trust that your strength will be made perfect in my weakness. And God, that you will speak to our hearts today. It's not important about me. It's what you do in hearts. So please, would you help us this morning? And God, we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Nobody has ever entered into their life's work with a desire to be a failure. I don't think anybody's ever done that. You know, fine college graduates, hey, what are you looking forward to? I'm looking forward to going out in this career and failing. I don't think you find that, all right? If it's being a paralegal, to driving a forklift, to installing internet cable, to running a business, to fighting fires, anybody entering into any of those careers or anything like that, they want to be successful. They want to be fruitful in their life's work. Now, I would think that the same approach would apply to people who are born again. I would think that every saved person would want to be a successful Christian. I don't think anybody has the mentality of, I'm glad that I'm saved, but now that I'm saved, I want to be a failure as a Christian. I don't think you find people with that attitude, okay? And there's a number of reasons. I guess one of the first and foremost reasons, and one of the most important, would just be thankfulness. Thankful that God has saved us. Thankful, like they just sang, the blood, our sins are under the blood that was shed on Calvary. Thankful that we're not going to hell, that we get to go to heaven for all eternity. And because we're thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus made, we want to be a successful Christian or a fruitful Christian. Now look at verse number 8 we read just a moment ago. Look at what this says. This is God's word, okay? Notice, for if, look at the next two words, these things be in you and abound. Look at the next word. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these things, if they're in a saved person, if these things are in us and they're at work in us, they're abounding in us, they make us fruitful. He says, neither be barren nor unfruitful. Well, if you're not barren, that means you're fruitful, right? So here he tells us that if these things are in us, we will be productive and fruitful in our Christian life. Then look at verse number 9. He says here, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's some unusual words, isn't it? Hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I've seen this very verse in action. I've seen it. I've knocked on doors in this area and, hey, visited with them for a few minutes and then asked the question, have you ever been what the Bible calls born again? Or do you know for certain that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? No, I don't know that. Never been born again. Spend a good 20, 25, 30 minutes going through verses with them out of the New Testament on how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. And ask them, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? I've already done that. I was at Vacation Bible School. I went to camp when I was in eighth grade. Or fourth grade, you know, something like that. That's the, or I went to a church one time, and they showed me verses. And I'm amazed because just 20 minutes earlier, they didn't have any idea that they were on their way to heaven. And now they're telling me that they definitely remember a specific time in their life when they trusted Christ as Savior. So I asked a couple of questions. Have you ever been baptized? No, I never have been. Do you attend church faithfully? No, I really don't. Well, now I'm figuring this out. If these things are not in a Christian, a child of God can actually get to the place where, you know, they didn't even think about being saved. Never gave any thought to it. So it's very interesting. Now, if the presence of these things, verse number 8, makes me fruitful, and the absence of these things makes me unfruitful, then I want to find out what these things are. Because whatever they are, if I possess them, I'll be a fruitful Christian. If I don't, I'll be someone that's unfruitful as a child of God. And I don't want that, all right? These things are listed in verses 5, 6, and 7. They are building blocks of the Christian life. There are eight of those listed in those verses, 5, 6, and 7 there. And those elements, if they're found in us, will make us productive and fruitful Christians. And if they're not found in us, then we're going to struggle in a Christian life. And once again, I don't know anybody who's saved that wants to struggle, that wants to be unfruitful. Now, before we look at a couple of these things here in verse 5, I want us to understand something that is very, very important, and it has to do with the title of the message today, the words, the critical path. Critical path. We've gone through two major building programs here and two what I would call major remodeling projects, maybe one more major than the other. In the first building program, I learned about this terminology, the critical path. I had no idea. Never been around buildings before, but I had no idea what was included here in the thing, critical path. Brother Allen, if you'll stand here and hold this for me. Just, in fact, let's put you on this side over here. That way we can work our way this direction, okay? You know, there are a lot of workers involved in a building program. A lot of different contractors. You've got framers, you've got roofers, you've got masons, you've got iron workers, you've got drywallers, mason concrete workers, electricians, plumbers, mechanical, the HVAC guys. You've got painters and you've got the floor coverings and all these different trades, okay, that go into putting a building together. Now, the day a building project begins, they don't all show up on the same day. The day the building project begins, there's only a few of those that show up. What is a painter going to do on the first day of a building project? What's the drywaller going to do besides stand around and get paid for doing nothing? Okay? So that's what happens. So, you know, that's what would happen. So the general contractor, and Brother Dennis was, Calston, of course, was the big help, and I explained all this to me. The general contractor, one of his responsibilities is to set up what they call a critical path. And he tells each contractor when they need to show up on the project. And usually that starts with the excavators, the people that are moving dirt. General, let me get you to help me this morning, if you would. Brother Allen, slide over just a little bit here. And usually the building project begins with the foundation, right? Okay, they come in and they start moving dirt. I remember when the day when the dirt moved for this auditorium. I remember when that happened on a Monday. And the bulldozer showed up and started pushing dirt. The backhoe showed up and started digging the trenches for the footings and so forth, okay? And then sometime after that, get you to help me here, Trent. Sometime after that, then you'll have the framers show up. Okay, so the foundation is laid. Some of the electrical work is done. Some of the plumbing work is done. And so the framers show up and they start putting the walls up. Brother Mike, let me get you up here, please, if you would. And then eventually, the painters show up and other contractors. So what in the world would happen if the painters showed up down here? He'd be getting paid for doing nothing, right? You think he works for the government, see? Amen? All right? Okay. So there's what's called a critical path. This contractor shows up on this day. This contractor shows up on this day. This one shows up on this day. This one shows up on then. You know, then you got several contractors working at the same time, okay, toward the end of it. But it's called a critical path. The order of this critical path is important. And when you get to verses 5, 6, and 7, these are not elements that are just thrown in here haphazardly. They are placed here by the Holy Spirit of God in a critical path. And you don't have to get worried, oh man, there's eight of them. We're going to be here forever. I'm not going to preach on all eight of them this morning. I want to point out three things about this. Now, first of all, salvation is the foundation. Turn that one over. That's faith. Look at verse number 5. He says this, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to. So where do we start? We start with faith. All right? We start with faith. And the faith that Peter is talking about here is found in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. I won't take time to read all of those, but the faith he's talking about is salvation faith. I want you to notice verse number 4. Look at what he says here. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Divine. What do you think of when you hear the word divine? You think of God. That's talking about the nature of God. And I want you to notice here, you are a partaker of the divine nature. Nobody is born into this world with the divine nature. Nobody. Okay? We had a great time with Cherith and Isaiah, and Russell's 10 months old. And I saw the handsome nature in him. I'm talking about I saw the old nature in him. Well, it couldn't have been the angel nature. No way. I saw the old nature in him. He threw a ball-eyed fit at 10 months. A ball-eyed fit for no reason at all. He was full. He was mad. He was full. He was changed. He was angry because he had to sit in the car seat. He didn't want to sit in the car seat. He threw a fit. That's how every person is born into this world. Not sitting in a car seat. They're born into this world. They're born into this world with an old nature that's wicked, sinful. It's called the Adamic nature. And then what happens is people hear about what they sang about. They hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, how that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin debt, shed his blood there, and how that by faith in Jesus and what Jesus has done, and Jesus alone, you can be saved, you can become a partaker of the divine nature. Amen. It's called salvation. Amen. It's incredibly important because without it, when you leave this world, and we all will, life doesn't end at the grave. The soul lives on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And this book only talks about two eternal places where people go to live forever. That's heaven and hell. And this is the difference between heaven and hell. Salvation in Jesus. It's not in a church. It's not in getting baptized. It's not in taking communion. It's not in saying prayers. It's faith. It's trust in Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, that he died, was buried, and rose again. And that's good enough for me to be saved. That's the only thing that will save me. That's where, and it's incredibly important that you get the foundation of life right. And I'm not just saying what Baptists believe. I'm saying from the book, the Bible. Amen. I don't think you want to bet against the Bible. Don't gamble against God's Word. Amen. So, well, I think. Well, sometimes our thoughts just aren't in line with what God says. Not in line. So we want to take what God says. And this one gets it all down through verse 1 through 4. He talks about this divine power hath given unto us all things pertaining to life and God through the knowledge of him that's called us. These precious promises that are in the Word of God, that Jesus died, was buried, and that rose again. And that if we'll call on him, we can be saved and we can become a partaker of the divine nature. Now, what's important about this is faith is the foundation. This is why some people who go to church all their life are miserable because they've never been saved. You can't build a successful Christian life on church membership. You can't build a successful Christian life on baptism. You can build a successful Christian life if you have the right foundation. I remember Brother Dennis in all the meetings that we had, and he kept saying over and over again, Pastor, we have to get the foundation right. The foundation has to be right. The foundation has to be square. It can't have any water issues. We got to take care of this. It's all got to be done. It is so important to get the foundation of a building right. And it's very, very important. More important than the foundation of a building is for people to get the foundation of their life right. Amen. And that foundation, if you get the right one, is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In order to be saved. Okay. So the foundation is absolutely vital. Salvation is the foundation. Everybody needs to be saved. Then I want to see, second of all, that salvation, faith, is to be built upon. Look at verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So let's turn this over here, Brother Trent, if you would, please. Virtue. You say, well, that's just one of several things thrown in. No, no, it's thrown in there for a reason. And by the way, I want you to notice, he said here, giving all diligence. Now look, salvation is free. But if you're going to build a successful Christian life from this point on, you got to give diligence. You got to work at it. You got to work at it. So he said, giving all diligence, putting your whole heart into it, add to your faith virtue. Now, what is virtue? And it's important because in the critical path, in these verses, virtue is the first thing that we add to our faith. And if I just, I could be very lengthy on this morning, but I won't be. I'll boil it down to just the bottom line. Virtue is moral excellence. Moral excellence. It's a word that's found in the book of Ruth, talking about Ruth. She's called the virtuous woman. It's a word that's found in Proverbs chapter 31, talking about the virtuous woman. And it says at the end of that chapter, verse number 29, that this woman in Proverbs 31 hath done virtuously. That's an action verb. Done. All these words are found in Proverbs chapter 31. Seeketh, worketh, bringeth, riseth, giveth, considereth, buyeth. I mean, planteth, girdeth, strengtheneth, perceiveth, layeth hold, stretcheth, reacheth forth, maketh, selleth, delivereth, openeth, looketh, eateth not. You know what all those are, folks? Those are action verbs. They're action verbs. They're doing something. Brother Joe, would you slip out in the foyer? Nobody else in, please, for the rest of the service, just for a few minutes here, if you could help us with that. Action verbs. Virtue is doing. It's moral excellence. Webster defined it this way. It's nothing but voluntary obedience to truth. Where do we find truth? You find truth right here. Amen. So this is what this is. This, by the way, voluntary obedience to truth. Voluntary. So we get saved. And after we get saved, we start learning truth from God's word. And virtue is every time I learn truth from God's word, I voluntarily embrace it. And I start living it. And the more I live God's word, the more I live the truth found in this book right here, the more I will develop virtue. I'll develop moral excellence. And this is critical because it is the very next step in after you get saved. This is the critical path. And the Bible says that's what a saved person should do. They should just voluntarily obey the truth of God's word. So let me just give you, for instance, here. So somebody has been born again. The Bible tells us, and I could give you scripture after scripture on this, show you cases in the book, that the first step after salvation is being baptized. Follow the Lord and believers' baptism. Now, virtue is, okay, if that's what the Bible says, I'll do it. Amen. And then the Bible talks about being faithful to church, okay? Reading the Bible, being faithful to church, and praying, and witnessing, and other things that are involved. And after a person gets saved, they say, okay, I'm supposed to get baptized, I'll do that, and I'll be at church, yeah, I can do that, and then I can pray, and I can read God's word, and it's everything that this book teaches me I should do. I voluntarily give myself to do it. And if I do that in obedience to God's word, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to add to my faith virtue. Amen. But you can't do that without obeying this book. You can't add virtue. All right? You just can't do that. And by the way, voluntary. Voluntary. You know, if I ask, if these boys were a little older and I needed, maybe I had a vehicle at a place that was getting some work done on it and I didn't have time to go get it. And I came to Trace and to Alex here and I said, hey, can you guys help me get a vehicle from over here at the car care center back to the church here? And Alex says, sure, I can. Trace just sits there. I say, can you help too? Sure. Did they both go get the vehicle? Did they both volunteer? No. Alex volunteered. Trace had to be asked. Virtue is when a saved person finds a truth in God's Word and just says, okay, I'll do it.
Amen.
Okay, I'll do it.
Amen.
Okay, I'll do it. That's virtue. Virtue is not some kind of little warm and fuzzy feeling that I get on the inside. That's not the virtue that's in the Bible. Study the whole Word out. Study it from the book of Ruth all the way through 2 Peter. That's not what it's about. It's about voluntarily obeying the truth of God's Word. So virtue is moral excellence developed by voluntary obedience to truth. So here's how we get. We start with being saved. We start with faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And we get born again. And then Peter said, the Holy Spirit through Peter said, after you've been saved, add to your faith moral excellence, which is voluntarily obeying the truth of God's Word. And the more I obey this book, the more virtuous I will be. Are you with me? Number three. You must follow the critical path. Now watch this. What's the next word? Look at verse number 5. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, what's the next word? Knowledge. So there's the word knowledge. Do you notice that knowledge is not before virtue? Just like the painters don't show up before the framers. You guys that are builders, you understand that, right? What's he going to paint if there's no walls? Okay. And the same way, knowledge does not come until after virtue. Look, let's swap. When I got baptized, I got saved on a Wednesday night. The next Sunday morning, I followed the Lord in believers' baptism at the church there in Tennessee. When I got baptized, which was voluntary obedience to truth, I didn't understand everything baptism was. I didn't have deep knowledge about baptism. But I didn't have to have deep knowledge about baptism. I had to voluntarily be obedient to truth. And after I got baptized and kept reading the Bible and kept going to church, I became more knowledgeable about baptism. It didn't make me any more baptized, but I became more knowledgeable about it. And then they said, you need to join the church. So I joined the church because that's what the Bible teaches. I didn't understand everything about church membership. We're going to have to make some room here because I'm wider than that little space, okay? I didn't understand everything about church membership when I joined the church. I didn't understand. You know what joining the church was? Joining the church was voluntary obedience to truth. But since I've been saved, I keep reading the Bible and stay in church. Now I've got a lot more knowledge about what it means to belong to a church. I began to read the Bible because that's what the Bible says. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Read your Bible. I didn't understand everything about the Bible. I didn't understand everything about the King James Version when I first got saved. But I started reading it because it was truth. I was being obedient voluntarily to the truth in God's Word. I wanted to add to my faith. Now, after all these years, you know, I have some knowledge about the Bible, not complete. And on and on and on and on I could go. This is what happens. You know, people, I'll tell you what the big mistake, a lot of people make. They think that they got to come to a full comprehension and understanding of salvation before they can trust Christ. Good luck with that, friend. Because salvation is not by knowledge.
Amen.
Salvation is by faith.
Amen.
After you get saved, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hear it. I don't get mad. It's not my point. It's not my place to be mad. But I just need to know a little bit more. I just need to know a little bit more. Before I get saved, I just need to know a little bit more. How much more do you need to know? Let me help you. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures. And that's the gospel of Jesus. He died, was buried, and rose again. That's really all the knowledge that you need to have. And you put your faith in that simple work the Lord Jesus Christ did for us to be saved. Friend, I'm concerned about people who just constantly need to know more and know more and know more and know more. And sometimes that's just an excuse.
Amen.
Just putting it off. And I want to humble myself and just simply trust Christ.
Amen.
And I will remind you that in a crowd of people with Jesus sitting in the middle, He put a little child on His lap. And He told all those adults standing around, this child right here does not have to come to the knowledge of an adult in order to be saved. Every one of you adults has got to come to the simple faith of this little child to be saved.
Amen.
That's what Jesus taught. Okay? So it's not knowledge. And the problem is nowadays, and I'm not, I don't know all the Generation X, Z. I don't know what are we old to? Generation F flunkies? Is that what we are? I don't know. Generation H? What's my age? What generation is that? Baby boomers? Yeah, okay. I don't know all the, what are you?
Gen Z.
Gen Z. I thought you were Trent. You're Gen Z. Okay, Gen Z. But you know what, this younger generation? Well, why? Why? Why do I need to get baptized? Why do I need to join a church? You want knowledge before virtue. That's not the critical path.
Amen.
The critical path is moral excellence, which is developed by voluntary obedience to truth.
Amen.
And then, as you obey the Lord, you're going to gain more and more knowledge.
Amen.
That's the critical path. I didn't develop the critical path. Yeah, we had Tim Stewart here. He put this building. He did this building. He sat down. I remember when he rolled out the critical path there, laid it out for us. Excavators are coming here, electricians, and then the iron workers are coming to put the rebar in place for the footings, and then the concrete guys are showing up. And then after that, before we lay the pad for this auditorium, they're going to run the underground electric. They're going to run underground plumbing. They're going to get all that stuff in there, and then these guys are going to show up. Then these guys are going to, then these guys, then these guys. And that was, and here we are in this building today. Because the critical path was followed. And if you want to be a successful, if you want to have a successful Christian life, this is how you do it. It's a critical path. You add to your faith virtue. Moral excellence developed by voluntarily obeying truth. And the longer you do that, the more knowledge you're going to gain.
Amen.
Now let me give you a Bible verse here. This is not just me spouting off this morning. John 7:17. This is Jesus. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine.
Amen.
What did Jesus say first? Come on, help me out. Do. And then after you do, you will what? You'll know.
Amen.
Hey, can I tell you what the will of God is for you this morning? For every person in here? The will of God is for you to be saved. Well, I need to know more about it. No, you don't. No. You know what you need? You need to put your faith in the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be saved.
Amen.
And if you'll do that, voluntarily obedient to the will of God, to truth, Then down the road, you're going to understand a lot about salvation. It's wonderful.
Amen.
It's the greatest life in the world. But this is the critical path laid out. And it goes on with all these other elements. But it's critical. It's critical that I understand before knowledge comes virtue. I could point you around this morning to people who are absolutely haywire in life. That's a kind word. When they got saved. And today, they are fruitful, happy Christians who enjoy their salvation.
Amen.
And in every case, they didn't get these two swapped.
Amen.
In every case, it was virtue, then knowledge.
Amen.
Well, I don't understand why. I got to know why. I want to know why. Why? I'm not against knowing why. Just put it in the right order.
Amen.
Just put it in the right order. This is called the critical path. And it starts with salvation. Thank you, fellas. I'll take those. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning very carefully. Today, I wonder if you've even started on the critical path. Today, I wonder if your need is not virtue, it's not knowledge, but your need is salvation. That's what your need is. You're not sure that you're saved. Or maybe you know for sure that you're not saved. Maybe this is the first you've heard about it, but you're not sure that you're saved. You're in a great place this morning. And I've already explained to you that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for your salvation. What you need to do is come and trust Christ. If you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved. I'm just going to pray in just a moment, close in prayer. I'm not going to call your name. I may not even know your name. But maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved. You're not sure that you have that foundation, that biblical foundation of salvation taken care of. And you've heard it. Maybe you've had the attitude, I just need to know more, know more, know more. No, no. It's faith. Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm concerned about that. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure. And I would like to be included in your prayer, not by name, but just acknowledge that I'm not saved. I don't know that I'm saved. If that's you today, just very, very quietly slip your hand in the air where I can see it. If you're not sure that you're saved, just lift it up. Don't be worried about what somebody else is doing sitting next to you. I see your hand. God bless you. Is there another here today? You're not sure that I'm saved. Thank you. You may take your hand down. Is there another? Not sure that I'm saved. Not sure. I see your hand. God bless you. Appreciate that. I'll wait just a moment. Think about it. Do you have this foundation settled? Salvation. Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege to preach your word. I pray, oh God, that you'll please speak to hearts. Lord, a couple of folks, maybe more, have raised their hands, not sure they're saved this morning. I pray, God, that you'll please help them to get that matter settled biblically once and for all. Get it nailed down like your word says it can be. So speak to that heart today, I pray. Our heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. I know we have some that have already gone back for baptism. If you're here, you've been saved, never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, well, that's the first step. And the way to virtue, to add to your faith, to grow, to be fruitful, is to just be voluntarily obedient to truth. So if you're here, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You could come at the invitation time. Tell one of these men, I've been saved and need to be baptized. We're ready to do that this morning. Some have already gone back to follow the Lord in baptism. Whatever decision God's put on your heart in any area of your life, It doesn't end with church member. It reading the Bible, praying, attending church faithfully. Yes, I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it. Voluntarily obedient to truth. Maybe God spoke to your heart this morning during the invitation time. You come. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to pray again. We're going to stand in just a moment with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And those of you that raised your hand this morning, you're not sure that you're saved, please, 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 just make your way to the aisle. The person sitting next to you would be happy to come with you. Let them show you from the Bible this morning how to get that nailed down once and for all. If you need to be baptized, you come. If you want to pray, the altar is open. Father, speak to our hearts as only you can. We want to be fruitful, productive children of God. We want to add to our faith in the right way, in the critical path of growth. And I pray for anybody here not sure that they're saved. Speak to that heart especially. I pray in Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together. The music begins. The invitation is started. Would you come this morning? Some have already come. Would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Just touch the person next to you. And why don't you come? Would you come this morning? Just slip right out. That's right. God bless you. Would you come? Would you come and make sure it gets taken care of this morning? Would you come? We could have somebody talk with you this morning. Show you the verses again. Would you come? Some are coming. Would you just step out? Just tell the person next to you. Would you come today? While we wait. Would you come? That's right. God bless you. Amen. Do you have it nailed down? Are you saved? Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? That's wonderful. Would you come this morning?